We're going to look at John 10 and read a couple verses starting at verse 7 down to verse 11. Praise God. Hallelujah. So then Jesus said unto them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. Praise God. He is the door. He is the way, and there is no other. Praise God. If anyone enter by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but to except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I come that you may have life, and that you may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. Praise God. I'll be honest with you, I wish I knew more about animal husbandry and all that stuff. I've never had much experience with that. I grew up in the country, you know, and Grandpa had one cow that ended up killing itself by getting its head stuck in a fork of a tree, and had a couple horses and a bunch of hogs, you know, but never any sheep. Never any sheep. Praise God. That would have been a good lesson. That would have been a good thing for me to reflect back on if I'd have been around sheep, but it wasn't there. Praise God. Hallelujah. But sheep can be difficult animals. Given my understanding, they can be difficult and stubborn and act not in their own best interest. And so they need a good shepherd to look out for them. And he has to be diligent. Praise God. And we have a very diligent shepherd. Praise God. David gives us an example of what it's like to shepherd the sheep whenever he fought the lion and went against the bear. He risked his life for his sheep. Praise God. And shepherding is a selfless role that is characterized by care and protection and direction and provision for the sheep. Jesus said, pointing to what he would do, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Amen. Praise God. Jesus is our good shepherd, and he's motivated by love. Paul wrote in Romans 5 and 8, but God demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yes. Praise God. Thank God. Hallelujah. Ancient shepherds would often lay across the threshold of the sheepfold to keep the sheep in and to keep the wolves out. What a wonderful, wonderful act of protection and prevention. What a wonderful picture of Jesus. Hallelujah. His death on the cross, it protects us from the power of sin and death and prevents us from stumbling through life under the burden and weight of sin. Thank God. Yes, amen. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Picking up at verse 12 in John 10. But an hireling who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolves coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. And hireling flees, because he's a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am a good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. Praise God. In preparation for this, I listened to a little bit of a book. I haven't listened to it all, I'll be totally honest with you. Didn't really have time, but it was a book written on the 23rd Psalm by a man that actually shepherded sheep for 8 years, and some of you may be familiar with this book. And he was talking about while he was taking care of, he had his flock for 8 years, and he had a neighbor that had sheep. And he's talking about how pitiful those sheep looked because that neighbor didn't care for them sheep. It was just, they were headed to the slaughterhouse. He didn't care. He didn't care if they get hurt. He didn't care if they had proper shelter in the winter. It didn't matter because they were going to the slaughterhouse. And he said, and my pasture was green, and it was lush, and my sheep were well taken care of. And he said, and I could see his sheep standing at the fence, looking over at everything that my sheep had with sad, pitiful eyes. Praise God. That's what the world and sin will do to you. It'll destroy you. It'll break you. It'll take everything from you. But what God will give you, nothing can compare to what he will give you. Nothing. He will bless you. He will help you. He will set you free. He will make a way for you. He will forgive you. When you fall and you make a mistake, he will say, get right back up. Confess it to me. I'll forgive you and forget about it like it never happened, and we'll just keep on walking. I'll keep on making a way for you. I'll keep on providing for you. I'll be there. Praise God. It's like that interpretation that went forth here like a couple services ago through Brother Zelke. He said, when I'm not in the bunker while you're out there fighting, he said, I go before you. I am with you. I am behind you. I am beside you. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Oh, he is the good shepherd, and he knows his sheep, and he is known by his own. Praise God. He has an intimate knowledge of us, every aspect of our life. Praise God. He knows our past. He knows our failures, and he will receive us with mercy and grace. If we come with an attitude of repentance, Lord, I don't want that mess no more. I don't want it to be a part of my life no more. I want to do it your way. I want to do it your way. I want to live for you. I don't want to live according to this flesh and the world and the devil and all this lies and mess that they're telling me. I want to walk with you. If you come to him in an attitude of true repentance, he'll forgive you. He'll be merciful to you. He will lift you up. He will help you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Praise God. He knows our present struggles and present needs. Praise God. There are some powerful scriptures that I often quote to people, try to encourage people, you know, because, I mean, the Word of God is everything. That is the will of God. That is our guidebook. And we have ready access to it like nobody in the history of humanity has had access to it. We have it. It would have cost, what, $40,000-$50,000 in today's money to get your hands on an actual copy of the book at the time of the apostles, something like that. Am I kind of accurate on that, Brother Zelke? I've heard that said before, that it was so expensive because everything had to be handwritten, everything had to be handbound. It was a luxury item to have a book. But we have access to it so freely. It is here. Praise God. 1 Peter 5 and 6, it says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Yes, he does. Just give him everything, all of it. Yes. Hold nothing back. Hold nothing back. It doesn't matter what it is. There's things, I held on to something for years. I didn't even tell my wife about it, like a fear that I had. And, I mean, it was unfounded, but somehow it got planted in my mind that I was afraid to do everything that I could for the kingdom of God because I was afraid that the Lord was going to take one of my children away from me. I don't know how that idea ever got in my head, but that it was going to cost me so much to do what he would have me to do that he might take one of my children. And I hung on to that for years. I didn't even tell my wife about it until finally the Lord delivered me of it and set me free. And then my wife found out about it when I testified about it while I was preaching like what I am right now. That's the first time she heard about it. I'd have wrestled with that for years because it was such a painful thing. And it's like, I almost didn't even look at it. I think that's why I'd hung on to it so long. I wouldn't even look at it. I tried not to even think about it, but I let it hold me back. Don't hold on to anything. It doesn't matter what it is. Sometimes we have irrational fears and foolish things, and there's things that we just give it to him. He knows already. He knows all about it. Just give it to him. Take it to him in prayer. I've thought about this, and I've told people about this many times whenever Saul, like whenever he failed, and Samuel tried to help him, and to do the will of God. Just keep the commandment of God. Just do what God says. Don't be trying to go willy-nilly and doing things your own way. Do it what God says. And he failed so many times and so miserably that God just let him go. And Samuel went before the Lord. There was a time when he went and said, and he rehearsed the matter before the Lord. Every brokenhearted thing in dealing with Saul, he rehearsed it before the Lord. He didn't do that for the Lord's benefit. He did that for his benefit. He went and told the Lord all about it because he was devastated. The man of God was brokenhearted because he realized the weight of the matter. And despite his best efforts, he couldn't change the course of it. And he was grieved, and he gave it to God, and the Lord helped him. Praise God. Philippians 4 and 6, and verse 7, it says, be anxious for nothing. Nothing. Don't worry about anything. Be anxious for nothing. That's what the Word of God says. Hanging on to worries and fears and all this stuff, that's ridiculous. That's flesh, that's the devil, that's lies, that's foolishness. The Word of God says, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, that the peace of God, which surpasseth all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Praise God. That is a powerful promise, people. Powerful. Embrace it. Believe it. It's the Word of God. It's truth. Praise God. In a world that's filled with all this anxiety and nonsense and fear, we got so many voices of this and that. This is happening. That's happening. This is going to happen. Be anxious for nothing. The Word of God says, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about it. Cover it in prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, that the peace of God may rest upon you and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It is a promise from God. Praise God. Forget all this other nonsense. The Word of God is truth. Praise God. Forget all of it. It doesn't matter. Hallelujah. His Word is truth. And he is with us. And he said he would be with us until the end. Whatever that means. I've heard some people that have, in history that have made some serious, they've had some serious endings, Brother Zelking. And I can't remember his name, but I heard Brother Stone King like talk about him one time in a message. I can't remember his name. He was a man that apparently believed what we believed. And he refused to disavow the truth of God. And he stepped up on that. They were going to burn him alive. And they had him bound. He said, don't just cut my bounds. I'll get up there myself. They cut him free, and he stood up there on that pile of wood that they was going to burn him on, and he stood there willingly and said, the Lord hasn't forsaken me in 80 years, and I'm not going to do it now. And they burned him alive, and he stood right there. That's a serious end, folks. I doubt any of us is going to face such an end. But if he was with him, he'll be with us. He said he would be. He said he would be. I will be with you to the end of the world. Praise God. There's a scripture in Philippians where he says, where Paul says, he has committed, he will finish the work that he started in you. He will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He committed. He's going to do it. We had to hold up our end of the log, right? We got to pray. We got to fast. We got to be faithful. We got to be in the book. We got to be seeking for the mind of God. Hallelujah. He's going to be with us. He will meet us there. He will meet us there, and he will help us, and he will grow us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Man, I am getting way off the notes, but that's okay. Hallelujah. It's all good. Praise God. Hallelujah. He knows our past, our present, our future. Praise God. There's a quote here from Corrie Ten Boom I thought was pretty awesome. And if I remember correctly, somebody can correct me on this, but I never read any of her books or anything, but I've heard people talk about it. I believe she came through the concentration camps, and she saw her family divided, and she saw her sister starve to death, and actually seen her body like thrown on top of a pile of other dead Jews. Corrie Ten Boom witnessed this, and this is a powerful statement that she made. She said, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God.
There we go.
That is a powerful witness, folks. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. In John 10 and 3, Jesus said that the shepherd calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Praise God. The shepherd speaks. He still speaks. And we can know his voice. Praise God. His voice is a voice of love and peace, mercy, forgiveness. Hallelujah. A voice of morality, of building up. Praise God. I'd heard somebody talk about, you know, like this love is, there's mercy and judgment in love. It's not just like, oh, you can just do whatever you want to do. I'll accept you in your filthy mess, and you just keep on doing your nonsense and stupidity. That's not what love is. Love says, I accept you, and I'm merciful to you. I will forgive you, and I'm going to help you do better. You're to come out of darkness and walk in the light. Praise God. You were in bondage, and now I'm going to set you free. Hallelujah. You lived according to the course of this world. Now you're going to live according to my course. Praise God. Hallelujah. Like Amos said, how can two people walk together unless they agree? He's not changing his opinion for you. You got to change your opinion for him. You got to be in agreement with him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. When you have in relationship with people, a close relationship, you learn people's likes, their dislikes, their personalities, their preferences, things that they're good at, not good at, all these kind of things. But it comes out of time spent with people. And that's how you know the Lord, is you got to spend time with him. You spend time with him in prayer and fasting in his word. You come into service with your mindset, I'm going to seek after God. I want to flow in your spirit, Lord, today. I want to hear your voice today. You got to come with the right attitude.
Right.
Praise God. There's times when I've come into service and I didn't quite prepare my mind and heart right. I was here, but I didn't quite, you know, when I come into service and I'm trying to pray and all this, and I'm like, I got nothing. I got a bead on nothing. I don't know what's going on in this service. I can't feel anything. And I realized that I didn't come to the Lord in the right way. You got to approach him in the right way. Thanksgiving and praise. You got to enter into his gates. You got to come to that altar of sacrifice. You got to come to repentance. You got to lay it all down. You got to ask for forgiveness. And you got to present yourself as a living sacrifice. Lord, whatever you want, I'm here. Whatever you want me to do, whatever you want me to hear. If I need correcting, I want to be corrected. If you want to help me to minister, if you want to use me to minister to somebody else, I want to do it. Praise God. Whatever it is, I come in that way. I'm like, Lord, I will operate in the gifts of the Spirit if you want me to. Whatever you want me to do, I will lay on the floor and bawl and squall and cry. I don't care. Whatever you want me to do, I will do it. And then you get plugged in. Then he can start dealing with you. Then he can start helping you. Then you can start hearing his voice and feeling his spirit. Then you can begin to flow because you've aligned yourself with his purpose. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Well, the Lord's making a mess of these notes. Praise God. But it's good. It's good. I feel like he's having his way. Praise God. And that's what matters. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. I think I've already hit on that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Our relationship with God is what's of the utmost importance. That intimacy and closeness with him, time spent with him. And you got to work at it. You got to work at it. You got to be mindful. When you wake up in the morning, he needs to be the first thing on your mind. Like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you for your mercy and grace today. Thank you for your word, for your spirit. Praise God. Develop that spirit of prayer. And you got to work at it. This doesn't happen by accident. You got to work at it. Invest time and effort. You know, like your time, like, oh man, I didn't pray at all yet today. I got to get on it. That can happen. You just wake up late, you're in a hustle, and you're just like, the alarm didn't go off, or you slept through it, or whatever. I got to get to work, and you're hustling around and all this stuff. And You can pray on the drive over there. You didn't pray before you got in the car. Start praying when you get in the car. We got nothing else to do but drive. Start praying. Praise God. That's why I like my job when they want to send me out like an hour and a half away from the depot. I'm like, yes. I'm like, we're gonna have an hour and a half of Jesus right here. And just start praying and worshiping. Might listen to a message or something. I don't, just whatever I feel like I need to do, whatever the Lord wants me to do, just me and Jesus, an hour and a half. We're just cruising. Hey, that's all right. They want to send me out, I'll just pray the whole time. Praise God. And I'll pray the whole way back too. Praise God. That's time well spent. And I got paid for it. And the Lord just works things out, you know? Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. What do we got here? A couple minutes. Praise God. Hallelujah. I think I'll just read this. I'll read some of this here in Colossians 1. Whenever Paul heard about the people at Colossae and their faith and how they received the word of God and it was fruitful in their life and they had faith and they loved one another, praise God, he rejoiced. And in verse 9, he said, "For this reason also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Praise God. Knowledge of his will. This book right here. That's his will. Praise God. With knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That wisdom, that understanding is the ability to apply the knowledge. Apply it to life, to circumstances, to relationships, to navigate through things, to use the word of God. In other words, there's another place where it talks about using the word skillfully. Put it to use. Put it to work. Praise God. It's powerful. It's powerful. It works. Hallelujah. That you may be filled with his knowledge, with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. It's about relationship. Walking worthy of him. We can't earn salvation. There's nothing we can do. It's by grace through faith. But there's good works that we've been created to walk in. There's a relationship that we've been created to be a part of and to participate in, to walk with him, to know him, to hear his voice. Praise God. To walk worthy of him. That is a powerful thing. To think that we could apply his word, we could seek him and walk with him and walk worthy of him, being pleasing to him. That's what it's all about, is being pleasing to him, being pleasing to the shepherd, the one that gave his life for us that we could be free, the one who constantly is with us, constantly protecting us, constantly helping us. Praise God. Verse 11, strengthen in all his might according to his glorious power in all patience and long-suffering with joy. Praise God. He enables us. He calls us and enables us. Whatever he's asking us to do, he enables us to do. The shepherd always makes a way for us. He's always strengthening us, always helping us, always guiding us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now we got a couple minutes here. Praise God. Back to John 10, verse 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so I am known of the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The other sheep, which are not of the fold, them also I must bring. Yeah. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank God. Hallelujah. He's always reaching. Always reaching. Often rejected. Often rejected. But he keeps reaching. He keeps reaching. Praise God. And you never know, somebody that rejects him today may receive him tomorrow. Somebody that rejects your witness today, your faith today, whatever you extend in their way, at some point, God could still use that to change their life. You may never be there to see it, but you were just a piece of the puzzle because he knows their life just like he knows your life. And if he put you in their path for that moment, even though it didn't look like it was really effective, And you were maybe a little brokenhearted over it, but you still just kept on going and you still kept on believing. The Lord could still use that. And he could work with that. And he could bring somebody else, some other life circumstance, something, and just keep putting all the pieces together and change their life the way he changed your life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Praise God. Sometimes through life's journey, we feel far from God, but Paul points out in Acts 17 and 27 that he is not far from every one of us. Praise God. And God promised in Hebrews 13, 5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Praise God. Psalms 145, starting at verse 18, it says, the Lord is near all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. And he will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all that love him. Praise God. He preserves us. He keeps us. He helps us. Praise God. And sometimes we need helping. Praise God. Actually, all the time we need helping. All the time we need helping. Praise God. I was thinking about the sheep. And sometimes you get better. You grow. You learn. And the stupid things of the past, they don't stumble you up. You don't get tripped up in the foolishness that you did whenever you first got into all this. Or whenever you were younger or whatever. And so you get better. You get wiser. You increase in the knowledge of his will. Spiritual understanding. You work worthy of him. You're fruitful. But every once in a while, I mean, you mess up a little bit, but you still need his strength.
That's right.
Absolutely. He enables you to do it every moment of every day, every step.
Yes.
He is the one that enables you to do it.
Yes.
Because it's his word, it's his spirit, it's his blood, it's his name. He's right there with you. He's helping you. He's guiding you.
Yes.
Praise
Lord.
God.
Praise the Lord.
And I thought a story about the sheep, and I think we'll wrap up with this. It's like something that sheep will do sometimes. And I think this is just a powerful illustration of how we can be. You know, I heard a preacher talk about how, you know, nobody wants, you know, you don't want to, if you were going to pick, you know, an animal to represent you, it wouldn't be the sheep. You know, you'd want, like, you know, an eagle, like a tiger or a lion, you know, something like vicious, something strong, something that's powerful, you know. But that's, we're not like that. We're like the sheep. Whether we want to admit it or not, that's the facts. And the sheep, sometimes this is what they'll do. And this is, and I heard, you know, somebody talking about how, like, this is what can frustrate shepherds, because they'll do stupid things. The flock will be out, and they'll be out in the pasture, and they're eating and resting or whatever. And he said, and this sheep will find, like, a little low place, a little hollow in the ground there in the grass, and just get real comfortable. Just get down there and just get real comfortable. And they'll sit there so long that their legs fall asleep, and they can't get up. And so when the flock moves and the shepherd moves everybody, that sheep, he struggles a little bit, and he just can't get up. But what, instead of just continuing to struggle, he just gives up. He just lays back down in the hole, and then now he's in danger because the shepherd's not there. The other sheep aren't there. He's out there all by himself, and the shepherd gets everybody back, goes to the count, like, oh, man, there's one of them missing. I'm going to have to go out and find them. Goes out looking for this sheep and finds it, legs asleep, laying in this hole, can't get up, so he has to poke it with the staff, trying to get it up, sometimes has to render medical attention to it or something to help it, you know, so it can move and get going. And he has to prod it, you know, and work with it a little bit. I've actually seen a little video of a shepherd, like, doing this with a sheep, and it took quite a while. He had to be very patient, and he had to know what he was doing, and it took some time for the sheep to get it together where it could move. And sometimes we're just like that. We get in a low place, and then we just, I just don't feel like getting up. I've been there. I'm sure all of us, everybody's been there one time or another. You kind of can embrace something like, it's almost like your calamity is like a warm blanket or something. You know, it happens. You get kind of like, oh, I'm kind of like used to this low spot, you know, and it's like too much effort to get up. Kind of, you know, kind of feels good to be here. You know, my legs, you know, if I get up, you know, all the blood's going to start flowing in. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt me to get up. I don't want to get up. I don't want to try. And you just wallow in that low place. But the Lord's like, come on, let's get up. We got to get up.
Come on.
And he can do it through his word, through his spirit. He can send a brother or sister. He can send the pastor. Now, come on, you got to get up. He may have to send multiple people your way before you finally break out of it. And it may take some time. You know, sometimes we get down. Praise God, but we got to get back up. And he's a good shepherd, and he loves us, and he wants us to get back up. And he's helping us, and he's healing us. And he'll apply that healing virtue to whatever we need in our minds and our bodies to help us get up and get going and to keep moving forward. Praise God. Hallelujah. The good shepherd loves us. Praise God. He cares for us, and he's always with us, always working with us. He's committed to finish the work. We got to be committed to finish it.
Right.
Committed to finish the course. Press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Fight the good fight of faith.
Right.
And he'll be with us every moment, every step of the way,
Jesus.
Fighting with us, going before us, following after us.
Come on.
Praise God.